If you have your Bible with you, we ask that you would turn with us to the 12th chapter of the book of Acts. And this is going to seem like a lengthy reading at first, but I think as we look at this and as we look at our text verse, it's going to kind of fall together with what we have to say. Because there are times whenever that we wonder if God really has things under control. We really wonder if he cares. Or can we see the hand of God working through our situation? But we find in the 12th chapter, and starting with the first verse, this was about the fifth persecution of the early church. There was coming upon the scene a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus, who would later be called Paul. But most of what we see in the beginning of this, the beginning of before the 12th chapter, is that Peter had preached, and the emphasis was upon him, and he preached to a few Gentiles, but he mostly preached unto the children of, or to the Jews that were gathered in the various cities. Starting with the first verse, we find these words as recorded by the physician Luke. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. In other words, it was during the season of the Passover. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Passover to bring him forth to the people. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between the two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. They really had him locked up. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself, bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened not with man's hand, but opened by God's hand. And so we find that he goes on, he considered this thing that had happened to him, and he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname is Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked upon the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. And then said they, "It is his angel," or in other words, his spirit. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he beckoned unto them with the hand to hold their peace, and declared unto them how that God had brought him out of prison. And he said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went into another place. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stirring among the soldiers of what became of Peter. And so when Herod had heard these things, he found him not, and they found him not. He examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judah to Caesarea. Now, we're going to stop there for just a moment. And the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say, came to a very interesting end, where Herod was being touted in ceremony. As he was dressed as such, he began to take it to heart and to his head what the people were saying. They said, "This is not the voice of a man, but it is the voice of a God." And I can imagine Herod just swelled up. He didn't give glory unto God, but he didn't get away with it, because the rest of that scripture says that he was smitten by the Lord. And this may sound kind of gross. He was eaten up with worms. You know, God's going to receive glory one way or the other. And we want to take for a text if God would be our helper. And I know we've read a lot of scripture this morning. But in the 18th verse of the 15th chapter of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, it says these words, "Known unto God, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world." Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. And my thought, my subject, if you could call it that, is going to be trusting God when we can't see him working. Do you know that God's working continually? We sometimes think God is just stationary, just up in heaven, and then he's doing nothing. He's just kind of watching. And then he hears a prayer and he kind of jumps into emergency mode. You know, kind of like an emergency medical staff. He comes to the rescue, so to speak, and he can do that. But you know, God, the Bible says, is all-knowing. He's all-knowing. There's nothing that God does not know. He is all-powerful. There is no one greater than him. And he's all over the place, if you will. He is everywhere all at once. People are worshiping at this very moment. And God is with them. And God is with us. And God is with churches across the globe. And someone will say, "Well, how can that be? It's impossible for somebody to be in all places at once." God can. And we find that the Bible tells us, even in the 139th Psalm, it says, "You've searched me, O Lord, and you know when I sit, when I arise. And you perceive, and you know my thoughts from afar. And whither can I go from thy presence?" You know, whenever that we leave this place, we're still in the presence of God. And he knows all about us. And we find, my friend, that there is nothing that he cannot do. But yet he can do some of the most intricate, tiniest things. In fact, writer David said, "Thou hast known me from the womb, and thou knit me together." Do you know that God is in charge of that baby in the womb? And he fashions. And someone will say, "Well, we got the science down on how that is all done." But it could not be initiated except that God does something, or he puts something into it, that the molecules work together, that the chemicals work together, that the tissues come together. And he began, and that child, I won't say it, that child begins to grow, and he begins to function, and he begins to take on recognizable features as being an individual. God can do that. God knows about every small thing, and he knows about the large things too. And we find that the Bible tells us that he even knew that the man that he would create, Adam, he knew that he would sin. He knew what Adam was capable of. He gave unto Adam that power, that ability, that he could keep the divine law of God, not touch any of the trees in the garden. And he knew that he also had that free will, that he could break God's law. And you know the rest of the story, how that Adam did this, and he brought sin and death by sin upon each and every one of us. We're born in sin, David said. We're shaping iniquity. And we come forth, the Bible says in one place, from our mother's womb, speaking lies. But thanks be unto God, he knew that we would need a Savior. We would need somebody who could atone for our sins. We would need somebody who would pay the supreme price to set us free. And I want you to know that God is all-knowing. He knows what we need. Christ was born of a virgin. Someone will question the virgin birth. God can do whatever he wants to do. If he wants a virgin to bring forth a child, he can do it. We find that the Bible tells us that Christ went to the cross. He suffered and atoned for us, each individual, personally. Now, even after his creation, and after that he had made all things according to his purpose and according to his will, God is still involved with his creation. There's not one thing, as we said, that he's not aware of working with and doing today. He cares about your problems. He knows about what your heart is, the heartbreak, and everything that is vexing you, so to speak. He knows how close that you are to him, how far away that you are from him. He knows when you're hungry. He knows, my friend, when you're thirsty. He knows whenever that you feel pain. And I want you to know that it's not that he's forsaken you. But the Bible tells us you are still the apple of his eye. He is still concerned about what is going on with you and what is happening to you. And he's upholding all of this by the word of his power. He spoke creation into existence. And my friend, that speaking into existence is still in effect. He's still, in a sense, creating. He's still, in a sense, working. He's still, in a sense, guiding and directing. Every heartbeat we take, every breath that we take, every brainwave that we have, every time that we hear, every time that we get up and walk, God has enabled us to do that. And we're not, at times, even aware of what he is doing. Sometimes I'll complain about, oh, gee, you know, my foot is hurting me. I feel arthritis in my fingers. But, you know, everything like that is a concern unto God. He's concerned with our well-being. And we find that he's also faithful. Did you know that God is faithful? Someone will say today, well, I thought it was us that's supposed to have faith. We are. But God is faithful unto his commandments, unto his promises, unto his covenants, everything. And whenever that he said, I'll be with you always, even unto the end, he meant that. And he's with you. You may not detect his presence. You may not detect him being there, but he is with you, surrounding you today with his protection. He protects your soul. He protects your heart. And if you ask him today, he'll continue to do that. The Bible tells us over in the book of Lamentations in the third chapter, it said, thy mercies are new every morning. Great, O God, is thy faithfulness. Do you know today that the mercy that God shows towards us is new? It's renewed every morning. We don't have to go up to him and say, you know, my card has expired, Lord. Can you renew this so that it works? We don't have to do that. And we find today, my friend, that he is faithful unto us. You know, when you think about how the Lamentations was written, Jeremiah was weeping over the fact that Judah had fallen to the Babylonians and Jerusalem had been destroyed. But yet in the middle of what he wrote, he said, "Great is thy faithfulness." And you know, even when we fail, even when we fall, even when our lives fall apart, God is with us today. And I hope that you take it to heart. And my friend, that it will benefit you today, because I cannot tell you what the days are going to be like whenever that another year passes and another year passes and another year passes. And, you know, I'm kind of the same way. There are people that are very fearful about what's going to take place. We see happenings over in the Middle East. We see happenings over in Russia and the Ukraine. We see cities in our own country that are being burned, that are being ravaged. And we wonder, what in the world are we going to do, Lord? But he is faithful. Our stand with him is not dependent upon circumstances. It's dependent upon his faithfulness and our trust in what he can do. He's always moving. He's always involved in his world. And we find today that, yes, you can detect the presence of God. My friend, after salvation, I didn't feel the condemnation and the conviction for my sins. But from time to time, whenever that I would get myself in a place where God would speak to me, I could feel his spirit. I could feel his presence. And it's not like anything that I can describe. It's not like a heart murmur. It's not like a brainwave. But it's just that comforting presence. And he renews fellowship. And my friend, we know that we are the children of God. The Spirit himself beareth witness with us that we are the children of God. I won't say sons, because one time I did that, and several of the sisters brought it to my attention that you left us out. Well, I go by what it says in the scriptures, but I want you to know that it includes mankind. It includes you. It includes all of us today. Now, his wisdom in guiding us, his knowledge in guiding us, is sometimes beyond what we can comprehend. You know, sometimes I'll read something or I'll hear something through the media, and it's describing some great phenomena that's happening, for example, out in space. And then it gets my attention and I get to thinking, Lord, why are you playing checkers with the planets out there? But he can do whatever he wants to do. And there's always a purpose behind it. And my friend, he doesn't owe me an explanation. But I just see that and appreciate that he is God. I am who I am. But yet he still loves me. And he loves you too. And he desires to bless you today. David said in one place, such knowledge. And then this was a man after God's own heart. You know, I think David would have done anything for God. He loved God so much. He was willing, my friend, to go down into the valley of Elah on behalf of the children of Israel. David would write poems. He'd write psalms about his love for God. Whenever that David was despondent, he would talk about his conversation with God. He pursued after God. And in the book of Acts, the same book, it talks about how that David was a man after God's own heart. And you know, today, you can't find anybody else who was like that. Probably about the closest one would be the Apostle Paul, who said these words. He said, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. He said, how unsearchable are his judgments. We cannot figure them out. He said, they are past finding out. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been his counselor? I'm so glad today that he doesn't call me into his council halls and say, now, Paul, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? I'm glad he's got it all under control, and he knows each and every one of us. And Paul concludes that and says, to him and through him and of him is all glory and all honor today. Whenever that you all sing how great thou art, I thought, boy, how appropriate with everything that I have to say. But I want you to know today, my friend, if you get nothing else out of this today, out of this sermon, out of this time that we're together, be it known unto you today that God's providence and what he does in a great and mighty way includes you. It includes you. It includes you. God doesn't play favorites. You know, everyone has had to come unto him for salvation on the same grounds, in the same way, in the same manner. He doesn't make exceptions today. But all I want you to know that his love and his compassion and his mercy and his love to us, my friend, is everlasting unto everlasting. He'll love you forever. And even whenever that you stray, you know, let me tell you this. You remember the parable in Luke about the young prodigal that spent all his livelihood, went out into the world, lived it up, and you know how that he came back and how that he made up his mind, Lord, or Father, I'm not worthy to be called your son. That's how, you know what the father did? Well, he didn't smack him upside the head and say, boy, here's what you're going to do, and you're going to crawl, and you're going to apologize so many times. No. That father grabbed that son, and he took him in his arms, and he loved on him. And someone will say today, oh my, he probably smelled like a pig pen. Well, he probably did, but that didn't matter. Because the father loved him. Now, if that father can love someone like that prodigal, how much more is the love of God and the concern of God to us? We're not even sometimes aware of it. We're sometimes not even cognizant of the fact that he's working all things together for us. The Bible says over in one place that in Romans chapter... I'm probably going to forget this. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, all things work together. Everything works together for them that love God and are called according to his purpose. All things work together. And you know, whenever that you find yourself in trouble, when you find yourself disheartened, depressed, disappointed, or pain is racking you, whatever the case might be, just remember today, God is going to work this out. And he's not going to leave you stranded. And he's not going to leave you without some sort of working in your life and working in your home and guiding and directing you today. You know, whenever that we say that you need to trust God, we need to trust God year by year. We need to trust God month by month. We need to trust God day by day. And whenever that you leave this place today, my friend, don't put God in the sermon over here in a corner. But my friend, realize today, you need him. You need to trust in him moment by moment. Moment by moment today. And we encourage you to trust him with all your heart. In fact, Proverbs says over in one place, it says, trust God with all of your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. I'm thankful that he's still directing paths, aren't you? And it's not by accident that you're here today. God has directed in providence, bringing you this way. It's not by accident that I'm standing here. It's directed of God. People will say today, luck and coincidence. I kind of differ with that. I don't think there's really what you would call luck. I don't think that there is a coincidence. Have you ever had God do something for you today and you're just amazed at how it all came together and how that he brought it to pass? I've had close calls, and you can ask my wife the reason why that she drives me everywhere today. I've had close calls in the car, and you know, today I know that it was God that protected me. It was God that watched over me. And you know, sometimes we'll say to ourselves whenever that we're late or going somewhere and somebody gets out in front of you or they somehow impede your driving or something comes up that you can't make it someplace on time. Do you know there might be a reason for that? There may be a reason for that. I like the picture that shows two little children. They're walking along, and they're about to step onto a bridge. And as they step onto that bridge, there's an angel that puts his hand out and keeps them from going across, because they won't get across, because something has happened to that bridge. And if they go any further, it's going to mean their death, or it's going to be some sort of devastating thing that will happen to them. Today, trust God and his providence. Even though you can't see it, even though he doesn't necessarily answer prayer the way that you want him to, he's at work. His ear is not heavy that he cannot hear, nor his arm short that he cannot save. He is always with you. He said in one place, he said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And he said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." That comes from a man today that when he was crucified on the cross, everybody deserted him, denied him, betrayed him. But you know, today, he's with us. I'm thankful he's with us every time that we come together. I'm thankful today that he'll be with us when we walk out of this door. And today, known unto God, known unto God, are all of his workings, even from the beginning of time and the beginning of the world.